would like to turn to our scripture passage of today, and I've asked Dadi Sonsala to read it for us. It's from Matthew 6, the verses 5 through 13. And if Dadi, you would give everybody just a few seconds, if they want to open their Bibles to that passage. I'm hoping next week I'll be far enough together with Peter that we can project the text on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, the verses 5 through 13.
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Good. Thank you, Dadi. Appreciate it. As you all know, we are now supposed to wash our hands quite a few times a day. I don't know how many, but certainly every time you come home from anywhere, but just, I don't know, 5 to 8 times a day, I guess, for at least 20 seconds. And there have been lots of suggestions on the internet flying around about how you can make sure that you're actually doing it for 20 seconds, which is often a little longer than you might think it is. And there have been a number of songs proposed that will help you reach 20 seconds. One of them is singing Happy Birthday twice. That's about 20 seconds long. For those Dolly Parton fans among us, if you sing the chorus to Jolene, that lasts about 20 seconds. For the Queen fans among us, if you do We Will Rock You, that is also about 20 seconds, and you can substitute the word rock with the word wash. We will wash you. That will work also. There's a version of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Look how clean my two hands are, and so forth. I won't go any further with that. There is actually, and if you don't get anything else out of this morning useful, here's this. There's even a hand wash song generator online, www.washyourlyrics.com. And if you put a song in there, it will make the 20 seconds of lyrics for you. I did it with Obla Di, Obla Da of the Beatles, and it really does work. Another suggestion is to do the Lord's Prayer, either twice or once, very slowly and very thoughtfully. And I actually have been doing that at least as often as I remember to do it. And it really is a good thing to do because, number one, it gets your hands clean, and it is a very wonderful prayer. I should also, in full disclosure, say I'm a bit OCD about my clean hands. So I usually do it a bit longer than strictly required. Once I'm done, I usually do one more round just to be sure. But as I was thinking about the next few weeks where we likely will be meeting like this and what to focus on, I thought it might be good to take us just through this Lord's Prayer. If we take it section by section, piece by piece, line by line, it should take us through the month of May. Hopefully we'll be back in church on site by then, but to be honestly, frank, I don't think we will be. So I thought that this would be a good theme for the next few weeks. Perhaps prayer at this time is becoming more meaningful to you. Often, as you know, in times of crisis, prayer takes on new urgency and even new forms. And I think the Lord's Prayer may remind us again of how to pray and what we're praying for, and perhaps to pray in new ways, because it gives us a template. It gives us the things we should be thinking about as we pray, and it helps direct our thoughts and prayers away from only ourselves to God and His greater kingdom. One of the main sources I'm using for these meditations is a book by N.T. Wright called The Lord and His Prayer, which was a series of sermons that was published in 1996. It's certainly available on Kindle. If you want to download it, you would benefit from it very much, as I have. So that's our idea for the next few weeks, to just go through this prayer line by line, not in great detail and in short meditations, but just spend some time focusing on each section of the prayer. So today we're going to start where Jesus says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In recent years, actually maybe 30 years or so, a lot of emphasis has been placed on God as our Abba, as our Father. And that has been done in an attempt to bridge the gap between us and God, a God who has oftentimes been portrayed as a kind of a terrifying person, a God of wrath, a God of punishment. And in order to bridge that gap, a lot of focus has been placed on this idea of God as Abba, as Father, and the focus on the intimacy that we have with God. We've grown used to speaking of God upon whose lap you can sit, whose arms you can feel around you, whose comfort is close, in whom there's perfect security. And I don't want to take anything away of that away from you, especially in these times. If you need to, please wrap your arms around that God. Let Him wrap His arms around you. Crawl on His lap. Feel the security. Say or whisper, "Abba, Father," and feel His love and feel His closeness. But N.T. Wright helps us see that there's more in this word Father than just my personal need for love and security. And he takes us back to the first occurrence in the Bible of the idea of God as Father, which may be kind of surprising to you where that first occurrence is. And it happens when Moses, the leader of Israel, marches into Pharaoh's throne room and in the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel, commands him to let Israel go from slavery. "Let my people go." And he uses the term, "Let my son, my firstborn, go." So from that moment on, Israel considered itself to be the firstborn, the son of God. So when Jesus starts off this prayer with this Father concept, and then, of course, all his listeners who were steeped in this Exodus thinking heard the word Father, they knew they were the son, and that brought them directly in association with the Exodus, with the liberation from slavery, with redemption, with freedom, with release. That's the image that came up in their minds. We are God's children. We are His firstborn. And that means that we are liberated from everything that would enslave us at whatever level it is. And later on, as I'm sure you all know, God promises to King David that he would have a son. This son would rule over a kingdom which would never be shaken. "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son," says David. God will be the father of the coming Messiah. And of course, as you all know, Israel in Jesus' time was just full of longing and hope for the coming of the Messiah. And so when Jesus used the word Father in this prayer, he's also referring to that Davidic promise of a king coming who would be the anointed one who would set up the kingdom of God and restore the kingdom of Israel to its old glory from that time on into eternity. But there's another time that Jesus uses the word Father in a prayer, and that's in the Garden of Gethsemane, which some of you may have thought about last week. My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, if this suffering cannot pass, if this cross cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Your will be done. And N.T. Wright refers us to that passage in the book of Hebrews where Jesus is referred to as the son who learned obedience. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And then, of course, you remember on the cross in one of his last words, Jesus cried, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. So as the son of the Father, Jesus took upon himself the work, the message, the calling given by his Father to save the world. It wasn't just a message of hope and liberation. It was a call to become an apprentice, to learn from his Father what it would mean to build the kingdom, to participate in it, to be active. To quote N.T. Wright, he says, saying Father is not just being bold to walk into God's presence. It is the boldness, the risk of saying quietly, please, may I too be considered an apprenticed son. It means signing on for the kingdom of God. All of that in this word with which Jesus starts off this prayer, Father, Father, who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, may your name be hallowed. And I just wanted to say a couple things about that word, that concept, hallowed. I heard from Cindy that last fall, and I believe into early this year, the young people of the church have been studying the Lord's Prayer. And they used a study guide that in the first chapter focuses on this phrase, hallowed be your name. And it makes the wonderful point, I think it's really, really good, that when we ask God that his name be hallowed, we're not so much asking something of ourselves, that we live and worship in such a way that God's name is made holy. We're not primarily asking God that we would live what we might call holy lives, although please do that. But we're asking something more. We're asking that God do something. We're asking God, be God, be here, be everywhere. Let your blazing glory shine in the world. Let your awesome power and love be felt and experienced by everyone. Let everything in the universe vibrate with the beauty of your holiness. O God, let the whole world know who you really are. And the study guide makes the point that this is a God-centered prayer. It's asking God to come into the world and make his glory known. We're begging for God's name to be hallowed because when God's name is hallowed, the whole universe becomes perfectly balanced and wonderfully whole. And the words of Psalm 96 fit in with this very well. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. And remember that word righteousness essentially means justice. He will judge the world in justice and the peoples in his faithfulness. By praying to our Father in heaven, we are connecting to God's mission to renew the world as his sons and daughters. We are asking him to lead us, to show us the way, to show us what it means that his name would be hallowed. And we're longing for the time when his glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So in this time of distress, this time of virus, this time of illness, this time of shutdown, I'd like to encourage you as you think about the first phrase of this prayer, number one, of course, to feel the security of the loving arms of God your Father around you and around all of us. There is nothing that can separate from us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that is really, really true again for you today. It's true for you when you're awake in the middle of the night. It's true for your anxieties. It's true for your concerns about yourself, about those you love, about our communities, about our nation, and about our world. But also pray that as his son or daughter, you will be able to connect to the building of his kingdom. That how you're living and what you're doing with your days, even now while you're at home, and starting from the intimacy of your home, that you will be able to connect to God in such a way that you see what you're doing every day as literally working with him as an apprentice of building his kingdom and spreading his justice and righteousness and glory every place that you go in every way that you can. And then I'd encourage you also to look for where his glory is present in the nature, in the love you have for each other, those you work with, and also as you see those who are working hard and serving on all levels, whatever that may be, open your eyes to look around and be able to see where God's glory is present and is spreading even in and through the distress of this particular time. And then I'd encourage you to have hope. Last week, we spoke of Jesus' death and resurrection. And that death and that resurrection assure us of God's victory over sin, evil, and death. Sin, evil, and death, even coronavirus and all of its wake of tragedy and destruction. Breaks the back of evil and always has the victory. And allow someone like Carter Viss, who went through what he did last Thanksgiving, to be able to, from his heart and with the hand that he has left, play the song, it is well with my soul. So I hope that as you pray this prayer and as you think about this prayer, you'll be rooted again in the work of Christ for you and in the faith and the knowledge and the hope and the love and the joy that it is well with your soul today, next week, in the coming months, and forever. Amen.